Just like that, the magic has happened.
We are live.
We're back, and it is another fine, fantastic day here in Indianapolis. Callum, I hope that it's the same up there in the six, right?
No, it's cold as hell. Am I allowed to say hell on our own podcast?
No. Yes, damn of it. Course. We're all adults here.
It's cold. It's super sunny today, which is nice. But with the super sun, we also receive super cold. So when I walked the dog this morning, I was almost a popsicle.
You went outside to what? How cold is it in Fahrenheit?
What? I can't. Hold on. I gotta look. Hold on.
Toronto. That's what Siri is for.
It's negative 14 Celsius, which makes it 7 Fahrenheit.
7. Okay. Fair enough.
That might be not too bad for the northern United States people. They might be used to that. But for the people in the south, maybe, it might be a bit different. It might be a different story.
Oh, for sure. Well, today it's 14 degrees here, and our wimpy dog got frozen to death and started crying because his legs were cold. So,
bad dog owner.
Gee, thanks for just calling me out in front of everybody. But anyway, so what else have you been up to as far as like work related stuff?
Oh, what have we been up to? 2 days ago, I was out on a maternity session. I shot a wedding for a couple a year ago, and they are now going to bring another tiny human into the world. Tiny humans. And they asked if I would do their maternity session. And I'll be honest, I don't shoot maternity sessions all that often. Reed, first one. So that was a cool experience. We went to the exact same place we went during the engagement shoot, and shot there. And then we went back to, their place and shot in their house for a little bit. It was totally cool. Loved it. Been getting outside my comfort zone. I was in the studio yesterday as I was showing you some pictures there, Raymond.
Yeah, I like those.
Doing some studio stuff with my friend Shlomi. And just trying to plan for the next couple of weeks. I'm off to Florida next week. To get vitamin D and a sunburn. And that's about it. What have you been up to, man? You've been pretty busy from what I can you've been telling me.
Well, yeah, this week has been quite a busy week. Obviously, we're trying to wrap up taxes here in the US, and I'm sure you guys have taxes in Canada, right?
We pay for that free healthcare we apparently have.
Oh man, jeez. How nice. Yeah. So, you know, it's been a lot of trying to wrap that up, getting everything in order, you know, stuff that you don't think about, mileage, and just kind of random stuff. But so I've been doing that. There's also been a lot of fun engagement shoots that I've been doing recently. So last Saturday, I went out and we went to a local state park, which I've been to a few times, and I really love it because typically I don't go to the same location, you know, very often, but this state park in particular is very large. And with it being fall instead of, you know, summer or spring, wherever you go, it's entirely different than every photo that I've ever taken before. So I was super happy to get out there, and we got some cool stuff. I got to try out this cool little tilt shift that I created out of an old broken Nikon 50 mil lens and then a lens adapter for my Fuji camera. And it turned out cool. It turned out cool. I think it still needs a lot of work on my part, but I really enjoyed it. And then on Sunday, I had some engagements at a jiu-jitsu gym, and those turned out really cool. I was really worried about those engagements because I'm not a fighter. I don't go to the gym. I don't really know who they are, so it was hard for me to tell them. You know, just the posing was entirely different than I would, you know, approach on a traditional engagement session, maybe if we were outside. So this one was like, fake punch her, you know, so it just got very weird. I had to figure out what it is that they normally did and then try to shoot around that. So it turned out really cool. I got to try out a few new lighting techniques that weren't traditionally what I would have done on a normal engagement session, but I think that it fit the fitness, gym, strong vibe that I was going for. And I posted a teaser on my Facebook page, and they liked it. So I'm really excited to share that with them. And, you know, it was just a really fun experience. So that one I'm happy about. But aside from that, it's been a lot of, you know, stuff in front of the computer, working on the website, and just the majority of the rest of photography stuff that isn't behind the camera. Getting ready for weddings coming up.
That is awesome. Yeah. Sounds like you've been that, and also that jiu-jitsu photo. I guess it's jiu-jitsu. I just look like fighting to me. Not to knock all the specialties of organized fighting.
Right.
Rule one: don't talk about Fight Club. Is that photo was really cool.
You really liked it?
I did really like it. I thought it was completely out of the box, and I love when photos make you step back. Like, I could see 1,000 mountain photos, but I see one jiu-jitsu photo in an engagement session. I'm like, that is killer.
That's why I took it. That's exactly why I took it, because I always love doing something different and something new that's going to push me to, I guess push me creatively to figure out what I should be doing right now and how to kind of capture that they love each other or even like each other in a situation where people would normally be throwing punches. So it was tough, but I think that it turned out pretty well, and I am excited to share that with them and finish up those edits. So,
question, who won the fight?
She did.
Yeah, fair enough.
I have to say that, right?
I guess so, unless you want to get knocked out.
Yeah, no, it was definitely her. But today's episode is a pretty big one that I'm excited for, Callum. I know that you have a little more expertise in this area than I do, so why don't we go ahead and let everybody know what this one's all about?
Yeah, we thought it was going to be a really great idea if, you know, we wrapped up the three-part series last week's episode, pretty much talking about the exposure triangle, and we thought that's great and all, but your images could be perfectly exposed, but if they're not in focus, they might not mean much to you. You know, I'm pretty let down when I can't focus things, which is a lot. I'm probably blind. So we decided this episode, we are going to talk all about autofocus modes. We're going to talk to you a little bit about what they are, a little bit behind the technology of how they focus and what they'll do. And we'll talk about the different types of focusing that you can sort of engage in your camera in different situations. And then we're also going to give you a link to an awesome Photography Life article that goes super in depth to all of that. So if you stick around, you're going to hear us talk about that, not to the death. We're going to talk a bit more overview. And I think Raymond also has expertise in this area too. He's just kind of trying to be nice. So,
well, it's just nowhere near as in depth as you do. I typically stick to just one focus mode and really just kind of leave it at that, even though I know that I should be pushing myself and using all the other ones, but we're still going to talk about them all today. And I'm excited to, you know, help everybody figure out how to take sharper photos.
I agree. And with that, let's talk about them. So, I'll start, Raymond. I'll take it. Take one for the team here. I'll start with the overview. Yes. How about that? So, if you've just gotten your camera, and even if you've been shooting for a year, I imagine you know you're gonna look in through your viewfinder, and I'll even try and pull my camera up here if you're actually watching us. You know, you'll look in onto your viewfinder or onto your LCD, and this is gonna be completely black. But you, hey, look, it's me. You can see that little red square. So when you look through your viewfinder in the back of your camera, you're going to see a little black one. It's almost a square, but it's kind of rounded. That is actually your autofocus point. That's where you're telling your camera that you want to focus or what you want to be in focus in your camera. So if you focus on a face, would ideally be in focus. But it's not just one autofocus point you have on your camera in your viewfinder. You actually have a ton. And depending on the camera, you could anywhere, I think they most of them have now about 51 autofocus points. Is that about what you have on yours, Raymond?
63. But in the more beginner level cameras, I think that it's like 9 or 12. So it's much lower. And obviously, yeah, the more expensive the camera is or more pro grade, the more autofocus points will be there to fine tune exactly what you want in focus. But don't think that you can't get great focus on an entry level camera, because you can. You just don't have the same flexibility as you would with a more prosumer grade camera.
Yeah, and that's totally true. I mean, really, what we're trying to say is they'll just, as you pay more for camera bodies, they'll throw autofocus points farther into the corners of what you can see. So instead of them being a bit closer to the center, they'll be just a bit farther out to the side. It really doesn't make too much of a difference. As long as what you're trying to focus on is in focus, that's all you need.
Yeah.
That's sort of a brief overview of what autofocus points are, if you didn't know before. But with that, autofocus points come a little bit differently. Like, and what I'm going to say is autofocus points have two major different types of ways that they focus. So probably the one that you'll see marketed or advertised for are called cross-sensor types. These are cross-type points. I call them cross-sensors. That is essentially that sensor, that autofocus point, is actually almost like a T. Think of it like a T. It's able to take contrast points or contrast lines vertically and horizontally. So if you're looking through your viewfinder and you see a completely vertical contrast, maybe from a shadow and then the sun on a wall, if you focus on that in a vertical cross type, you'd be able to catch that. You'd be able to focus on that precisely and it'd be in focus. So sometimes they come, and especially in the prosumer grade or the beginner camera bodies, I think, Raymond, only the very center dot, very center autofocus point is a cross sensor or a cross type sensor. And I believe the surrounding ones will all be vertical, vertical based.
Right.
I think that's the case. I'm not going to go and research the hundreds of cameras that are available on the market now. If you're interested in knowing, usually what I would say is just type in your camera body into Google and type in focus points. And there's tons of infographics there showing you what's a cross type and what's a horizontal or vertical sensor type.
Yeah. And I think what's important to remember is that for the more entry-level cameras, like you said, that middle point is the most sensitive, or it's the only cross type, meaning that is the most sensitive focus point on the camera. But unfortunately, I don't even know if a lot of people are sure exactly like where these points are and what. So I guess to break it down would be, and this is kind of sad to think about when you really give it some time to kind of sit inside of your brain, but a camera has no idea what it is looking at. It doesn't know. It doesn't see. No, it's Charlie. It doesn't see faces. It doesn't understand. What's up, buddy? Those weren't words. Can you go see mom? He loves
it. Yeah.
Yeah, he was singing there. He's trying out for the next season of American Idol. We're pretty excited about it. But anyway, so a camera honestly has no idea what it's looking at. It doesn't know what it should be seeing like we can. As humans, we see a person, we know exactly what it is that we want to focus on just by looking at it. And then kind of everything in our peripherals is slightly out of focus. So a camera doesn't know. You have to tell it what it needs to be focusing on. And that is what we're referring to when we talk about autofocus points, because you can select where it is that you want to be in focus. You can tell the camera, I want everything in this area to be focused, or I want this thing in particular to be in focus. And when you do that, you're telling the camera to go ahead and find that spot, as opposed to you manually focusing the lens itself. So this whole talk that we are discussing today is all about how to utilize how to tell your camera what should be in focus. So all of those cross type autofocus points that Callum is talking about are going to be the most sensitive, meaning that your camera is going to have the best possible chance at making sure that is in focus. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you kind of nailed it right on the head there. I've actually got a photo that I've just pulled up for you guys. This is actually a really small photo. I'm sorry.
Are you looking for the groups of autofocus points?
Yeah. So can everyone see this? Can you see this, Raymond? Yeah. So
it doesn't look bad at all.
I'm going to explain this to everyone who isn't able to watch us through YouTube. And if you're just listening to our podcast, I'll try to give a great description. But what you're going to see on the screen right now is what you would see in your viewfinder.
If you were looking at a white wall.
If you were looking at a white wall, you see the border, you see sort of the center focusing area, and what you do see is they've illustrated in colors different sensor cross type and assist points. So this is just how the sensor and the camera are working together to focus critically on a subject. So as you'll see right in the middle of the main first circle, you're going to see a red bar that runs horizontally, and you're going to see a blue bar that runs vertically. Mm-hmm. That's a cross-type sensor. So that means it's going to take contrast from both horizontal and vertical points to make up its focus. You're going to see similar ones surrounding the very center point, and then even more kind of further out. These can look a little bit different in formation or where they're situated, depending on the type of camera you have. It could be completely different. What you also see is other sensor points, and they're, instead of red and blue, they are green and blue. And the blue ones are simply just horizontal points. They are only able to pick up contrast and horizontal changes. So you're not going to get any vertical ones from those. Those are the ones that, I guess, if you're a sensor snob or an autofocus snob, you might think are like, I've never used these because they don't do anything, or they're not good enough. Not actually true. I use whatever ones are available to me wherever I need to compose my image, as long as you know how to use them properly. I'm not going to go into kind of the bottom point where it talks about the different aperture sensors, but in essence, some apertures can utilize different sensors. For your extent and purposes, your kit lens, if you have a kit lens that's come with your camera, it's going to be good. They usually don't sell kit lenses that can't take advantage of those sensor cross type points. So yeah. We're not going to go into that. That might be a more advanced conversation, you know, months down the road. Or if we have specific interests from users who want to learn about how sensor points work with different aperture points. So that's kind of the gist there. I'm going to close this off.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that it's, you can know everything about it, but at some point it's not really going to help you much more. So all about those, you know, aperture sensor sensitivity points. I don't care about those. I never use them. I care about getting the shot. So I'm going to do whatever I can do to get the shot and not worry about the extra technical stuff. Not that I don't want to, but I don't think that that knowledge is going to help me get a better shot. So
agreed.
You might not have to worry about it. Like I don't, you know, I'm a professional photographer. This is what I do. And doesn't matter to me. I really don't care.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So
should we talk about the three major different type of autofocusing types?
Absolutely, Callum. Absolutely. You want to go for it? They are. Yeah. There are three major different types of autofocus systems, and I'm going to tell you what they are for Canon as well as Fuji, and Callum's going to tell you what they are for Nikon, but they all have different names, but they all do the exact same thing. So with Canon, I'm going to pull this up for the viewers. Okay, so with Canon cameras, there is you can look at the top of my camera right there, and there is, can you see that at all?
Kind of. It's a little difficult.
Okay. Well, up at the top, there is the autofocus mode called One Shot. There's one called AI Focus and then AI Servo. For Fuji, it's a little bit easier. It's much easier. There's M, C, and S. So manual, continuous, and single shot. And then for Nikon, there is...
Yeah, we have three. We have AF, A, which is sort of a single slash continuous. Canon uses this. I think you guys call that AI Focus AF that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. We have AFC, which is continuous. It's going to constantly focus. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's, like you said, AI Servo. We see Stormy in the background on the video feed. Hi, Stormy.
That's my wife. She's gone.
And the third one we have is AFS, which is probably one that most people will use. That's single shot, single area focus. And you guys, I think, or you guys, you Canon users, call that one shot autofocus.
Us crazy Canon users. Yeah, yeah. So now that we've kind of, I'm sure that you've seen these on your camera, but probably had no idea what they do. So I'm going to walk through just a little bit of what I use and kind of what they mean. So there are two schools, I would say, when it comes to autofocus. One is the people who just let the camera, like, say, here is a group. Camera, you go ahead and do whatever the hell you want to do within this group. And then there's another group of people who say, no, use this one point always. And that's me. So the one shot, or for Nikon, it's...
One shot is AFS.
Okay, so for AFS, what that means is you're telling the camera, I want you to only use this one focus point. And once you lock on to that one focus point, I can go ahead and take the shot. Because I know that whatever is in my frame, I want right there to be perfectly in focus. For AFS, did you say?
AFS is a switch between both.
Okay. So then, okay. So for Canon AI Servo.
Is AFC for Nikon.
Okay. And then is also C for Fuji, means continuous. So as long as you're half pressing that shutter, the camera is going to continue to change whatever is going to continue to change the focus depending on how close or how far back that subject within your focus point is moving. So this is good. This is good a lot of times for when you're looking at somebody. Maybe they're on like a field or something. You're looking at somebody and they are, I don't know, 50 feet away from you and they're slowly walking towards you. When you're in this mode, your camera will continue to change its focus point to follow them the closer that they get to you, ensuring that they are in focus. Because if you're in the one shot mode, once you lock focus, okay, so from the time that you lock focus to the time that you actually press the shutter, if they're walking towards you, they could have walked out of focus and then you've missed the shot. So that's not good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, and I don't really use that much for my professional work, but when my dog's in the park, I don't know if you've seen my dog run around in the background during the podcast or anything, but she's always a quick little bugger. and I can't use single shot with her at all. It's AFC or nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to continuously focus on her and just hope I get her because she's so quick.
Hope that the camera can keep up. So I guess for this, we should just call these single shot and then continuous.
Yeah, yeah.
Or single mode and then continuous mode just to alleviate the abbreviations and the confusion between the camera systems.
Absolutely. And yeah, and then the other one is just one where the camera will choose between those two. So really, there's only two modes, but the third technical mode is the one where you just tell the camera, I'm not really too sure what's going to happen. You figure out whether it should be servo, which is one shot, or if you should continue, or sorry, if you should choose servo and continuously shoot, or if you should change to single shot.
Yeah. Agreed. I've never used that mode. I've never found a situation where I wanted the camera to just decide what I wanted to be in focus. So whenever I'm looking through the camera, it's important to think to yourself, like, what do I want to be in focus? Like, what do I want to be the hero of this shot? And whatever that is needs to be in focus. So to me, the idea of letting the camera just like, should this be in focus? Just seems like a waste of time to me. Honestly, I don't know how good it is. Maybe it's fantastic. Maybe it's always perfect. I don't know. But I'm not willing to give up that freedom of choice just in case it chooses wrong and I miss a shot. So I always stick to either one shot or continuous because those I know will always give me consistent results. So Callum, you said that most of the time, I guess, in your professional work, you use single shot, right?
Single shot. Yeah, I think I use single. I guess I use continuous for moving shots where I have couples walk sort of in an area and I'm stationary. I guess I use it a little bit. I'll use a bit of both.
Yeah.
I find them both super effective. You just gotta kind of know when one is appropriate over the other. I don't use continuous when I have a stationary couple, just because I find I can actually, if I'm moving a little bit, and I'm not the most stable person, I'm like, for someone who played sports his whole life, I'm pretty clumsy.
He means emotionally, too. He's not emotionally
clumsy as well, yeah. I move a bit too much, and sometimes what happens is the camera is constantly compensating for my movement, obviously. So I have to flip into continuous mode there, and, you know, it's a whole mess. I'm just like a clumsy guy, so but the camera helps.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
It's awesome, though. I love both systems, and they have their own appropriate use. I don't use continuous if I'm doing, like, a shot of landscape for personal work, just because there's really no point.
Right, yeah, you always know exactly. That mountain's not coming any closer to you. That bridge is not coming any closer to you if you're just standing in one spot. So there really wouldn't be a need for that. So when, say you're just out, say you're at the park with I'm just going to use your dog for example, because it's going to be best for you. So if you're at the park with your dog, you would use what focus system? Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
I'm definitely going to use the AFC on Nikon, which is AI servo for Canon.
And that is because...
that dog doesn't stop moving. And what I'm telling the camera is there is something that needs to be continuously tracked in focus. And I'm going to set the area or the sensor that I want you to use to focus. And as long as they're in, what I'm saying is I'm going to keep my dog in that focus point. And I'm going to keep it in the focus point. That's my job. Your job, camera. With AFC, continuous focusing, is to make sure that wherever that dog is as it gets farther away or closer, to keep it focused. Keep the depth of field, you know, within that dog or the dog within the depth of field so that I can take a photo that's actually in focus.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. So if you want to track a moving subject, you're going to use continuous focus.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's say that you are on an engagement session or a portrait session or a newborn session, depending on whatever your specialty of photography is. What focus mode are you going to use then?
I would probably, if it's a fairly static, maybe engagement session where they're going to be standing in a field.
Or you're posing them. Let's just assume that you are posing them.
Yeah, if I'm just posing them, I'm probably going to go off my AFS, which is one shot. Autofocus for Canon, is that correct?
Yeah, it is a single shot.
Yeah. I'm probably going to go with that because I'm going to focus and then I might have to recompose and take the shot. I might take the focus, take the shot, then move again, but physically move where I'm not focusing. So I'm going to just constantly, I just want to make sure before I click that shutter, I get the green light in the corner that says I'm in focus and I'm going to take the shot.
Nice.
I believe, just as a sidebar, you can set your camera to take the shot regardless of its focus confirmation, and you can tell the camera to not take a photo until the camera believes it's in focus. We're going to talk about that at another point. I can set that on my Nikon. I don't know about Canon users because I don't use Canon, and I don't know about Fuji because I don't own a Fuji yet, although I'm going to hopefully in the next few days.
Yeah.
Let's see. AFS. built in. I've gone to this like 100 times, and I'm sure I know where it is, but I can't find it at the second.
Well, while you're doing that, I guess it kind of makes sense because there's times when, I mean, I've taken plenty of out of focus shots. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of digital photography when you're taking a lot of photos, especially at an event or, you know, family function, maybe a cookout or something. But when I'm at, say, the reception and it's very dark and it's hard for the camera to find focus, it won't take a shot unless it finds something. Maybe unless it's just not hunting for focus, but that's here really interesting. I gotcha. I think I realized why I have never experienced that. Callum, do you use what's called back button focusing?
I do use back button focusing. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so when you half press the shutter, okay, let's try to explain this to people. There is two ways to focus your camera. So one way is when you go to press down and take a photo with your camera, you're actually half pressing the button as well to tell the camera, hey, go ahead and start to try to find focus, so that by the time that you actually press the button all the way down, it has found focus and then it will take the picture. Meaning that if I'm looking at you and every time I press the button to take a photo, it's going to find focus and then take the photo. Find focus, then take the photo. Find focus, then take the photo. The other way of doing it is on the back of your camera, there, at least for me, this is the Canon 5D Mark III, and I know that it has it on other level cameras. I'm just not sure where the button is. But you can see this right here. It says AF on. So when I press that button, my camera is going to find focus, basically eliminating the half press of the shutter right here, meaning that I can press AF on to find focus, and then I can take the same photo 1,000 times and it will never change the focus on my camera. So this is important when you need something that's like fast moving, whether they're jumping or for weddings, like the first kiss. If you're looking through your camera and you try to take like 10 photos of the first kiss, every time that you go to press down the shutter, it's going to find focus and then take the photo. Find focus, then take the photo. Find focus, then take the photo. Whereas if you press the back button to focus, it's going to find the focus. And then every time you press the shutter, all it's going to do is just take the photo. So it saves you time. And it's going to be able to get you more photos as well.
Absolutely. We have the same thing on Nikon. It's just called AF on, same button. Mm-hmm. It's almost in the same place. Its own dedicated button. It does the exact same job. So yeah, you can use the front shutter or you can use the back one. And it'll still not let me take a photo even with the back button focus if nothing's in focus.
Okay.
So that might just be a setting in Canon that you've never had to explore because you've never needed to.
Right.
I used to set it to whenever I released. I would just, if I knew that, you know, my camera was pretty close to in focus or they were going to walk into an area, like you preset where you want to focus and then you know, you've kind of got it. You can just fire away until they walk into focus. I went back. I don't know why. I just went back to when it's in focus. I trust my camera to be in focus more than my eyes.
Yeah.
And these autofocus systems are so good now. The only time I manually focus now is probably where it's very dim light. And I know that the couple's 20 feet away and I just set it to 20 feet and shoot.
Yeah, I agree. There's very few times where I manually focus. But generally that's it. That's when I do it. When I know that a couple is a set amount of way and maybe I have my aperture set a little lower so that I know that more is going to be in focus, which we talked about in our exposure triangle part 2, all about aperture.
Yes. Right? I think it's episode 2.
Okay. Well, just go back and check anyway. All about aperture, we say that when you have a larger aperture number, more is going to be in focus. So if I know that a couple is far away, it's dim, and I can't lock autofocus on them, that's exactly what I'll do.
Hey, Hey, Raymond here, and I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today.
Okay.
Awesome.
So
we've kind of, I think we've covered a lot of autofocusing there.
We have covered a lot of autofocusing, but one thing that we haven't talked about yet is the groupings of how to select your autofocus points.
That is true. Yes. There are quite a few different ones. I'll go over those real quick if you want. You want me to be the guy?
Be the guy, Callum.
Be the guy. Lead us to the AF groupings portion. So, yeah, to make this really simple, and even I don't use all of them. I'll be the first to admit I use maybe two of them ever. There are tons of ways that you can tell your camera to use the autofocus sensor points to focus. So as we've talked about a little bit here that you've learned, there's one called single. It's just a single point inside your camera that you'll see. It'll just be one.
You know what? Why don't I go ahead and show everybody?
Yeah, show everybody. Camera.
Let's see, where is it? Oh, let me go ahead and...
Raymond, if you're only listening to us, Raymond's trying to balance his camera into his own video camera.
There we go. So that little focus point right there in the middle, that is a single shot. So that means that the only time, or every time I press the shutter, that is what it's going to look to find in focus.
Yeah, that is just one single sensor that it's using to focus. And you can set that. You can say only use one sensor at a time. Don't use any of the other sensors that you see popping up or that could be in focus. So as you can see here, if you are only listening to us, Raymond's just activated his preview for all the focus. So he's kind of changing it in between all the possible sensors that you can possibly use on his camera.
Yeah, so this one.
You can see, I think, is that the grouping one?
Yeah, that one, when it turns black, it's easier to see. That one says that, hey, whatever's in the center is the most important, but if something is moving close to it or around it, just go ahead and get that.
Yeah, use sort of all of them as information, prioritize the middle, and when it moves into those other areas, use that as well. There's another one that I really love using, and it's kind of similar to that. It's like a block. For Nikon, it looks like a square of... It's just like that, yeah, what Raymond's popped up on the screen. It's just, it looks like 3x3 and 3 in a circle, and you can move it about. The other one I use, and Raymond, I don't know if, do you guys have this on camera? It's 3D tracking?
No, that's one thing that a lot of people love about Nikon is that we do, Canon users do not have 3D tracking.
Right, so 3D tracking, if you're on Nikon, is where you tell the camera how many of those sensor points you want to use, and then you set it to 3D tracking, and you choose the first thing for it to focus in. So if I wanted to be my dog and she was 40 feet away, I'd focus on her, and then as she moved around the frame, it would automatically detect that and move the sensors by itself to wherever she travels, as long as she's inside one of the sensor points. Or the autofocus sensor points, and it would follow her around. So if she runs off camera, it'll become confused and go, oh, well, it's no longer in the frame. I'm done here. And as soon as she comes back in, you just select her again and press the half shutter to focus, and it'll follow her again. And I use that for my dog actually quite a bit probably with AFC just to focus and focus and focus.
Yeah, I'm pretty jealous about that because that really opens up a lot. I am. That really opens up a lot of possibilities when it comes to, you know, ensuring that you have perfect focus, especially when, say, you know, kids are kind of running around. It's hard to get your composition right every single time if your main autofocus point is right in the center because it might not be very visually appealing to see every shot of the kid just right in the middle. Sometimes it's easier off to the left. Sometimes it's easier off to the right. If you say, hey, this is the kid that I want in focus, follow this, wherever he moves about in the frame, he's still going to be in focus, letting you find a good composition before you can snap the shot. So that is really awesome. But I think you were telling me earlier that it's not as perfect as it may sound.
Not as perfect. It's I have a little pro tip at the end here, but I have found even when I focus dead center on my dog, the camera 3D tracking can go a little temperamental, and it sometimes confuses my dog with maybe a blade of grass or something and just goes off the map, and you know, you've lost focus of your dog. Technology is only so good. It doesn't know the difference between a blade of grass or, you know, a tree and my dog. It can't decide.
Were talking about earlier, the camera doesn't know what it's looking at. It just doesn't know. It has to use technology to try to assume.
Absolutely. It has no clue. So it does do that a little bit. My pro tip is to stop down your aperture a little bit so you have a bigger depth of field. So make that aperture number bigger from maybe 2.8 or f4 to maybe go up to f5.6. And just try and focus on the biggest piece of mass of whatever you're focusing on. So maybe dead center in the middle of someone's chest, as opposed to trying to very finely get it on their face if they're far away. Because then it's going to be easier for your camera to recognize the thing it needs to keep in focus with 3D tracking. Sometimes I've tried to 3D track from far away on the face of my dog. And what will happen is by the time my dog starts moving, the dot was so small, it also picked up information in the grass and said, oh, I'll also try to focus on that, I suppose, and I won't track the dog very accurately.
Yeah, so like we've said multiple times in this podcast, camera is like an amazing piece of technology, and it enables you to get something that you never could have got before, just from the, you know, equations that it's always doing, the different calculations. It will take amazing photos if you can utilize it correctly. Sometimes there's a lot of information that comes in. I mean, who needs, you know, 4, 5, 6 different type of autofocusing modes, the groups, the pairings, the cross types, the verticals, the horizontal scent, you know, there's a lot of information. But one of the main things is figuring out what works best for you and figuring out how you can use it in everyday life. I would say try to figure them all out if you can, because there's a lot of times, just recently, I always use the single shot autofocus point, but whenever a bride was coming at me down the aisle, if I were to take the picture, when I would focus the camera, by the time that I would take the shot, she would have walked just enough closer to me that she would be out of focus every single time. And that always made me upset. But there's this little button, at least for the 5D Mark III, that automatically turns it into AI servo.
Ooh, awesome.
Yeah. I never would have known about that if I didn't play around with the autofocus settings. So once again, just figuring out what it is that works best for you. I would say get out and here's a good tip. Here's something that I did when I first got my camera. When you're looking through the camera and you see all those autofocus points, one night when you're at home and, you know, the whole family's just watching TV or something, bring out the camera and just look at the TV with your camera. And while people are moving about the frame, just see how fast you can change those focus points. That's really going to help you nail down so that you don't have to take the camera away from your face, figure out what buttons that you have to press, and then go ahead and move them for the right thing. Just go ahead and try to keep the people that are in frame in focus when you're watching TV, because, I mean, what else are you doing during that time? It'll help you get an idea of what better to do. And, you know, practice is the only thing that's going to make you perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a really cool article to give you. We're going to post it on the Facebook page. It is all the stuff we've talked about today and more, and it's by the awesome people at photographylife.com.
Love those guys.
They are cool. They did a really awesome article on DSLR autofocus modes, and they've explained it in depth. I read it a couple times, learned something I didn't know. And I really recommend going over there and taking some time to read it. I think you'll get a good idea, especially if you still have questions. We want you to bring them to the Facebook page, but maybe this article will also answer some at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. So Callum is going to post that in the Facebook page. So if you want to read that article, which I too read, and I also think that, you know, there's a lot of things in there that I picked up on that maybe I just didn't think about before. If you want to read it, which I highly encourage you to do, check out the Facebook page. It'll be there, as well as head over to our website, beginnerphotographypodcast.com, and sign up for the newsletter, because, you know, a lot of times we just get busy. You know, we're listening to the podcast in the car. Maybe we don't have access to the computer at the time. When we get in front of a computer, we forget to go check out Facebook. This newsletter is going to be a perfect way for us to be able to send you all of this information all at once with the latest news and podcast updates. And we also got some goodies coming your way. So hopefully those will also be in the newsletter as well. It'll just be a great way for you to get all that at once. Nice, convenient. You know exactly where it's going to be. Go ahead and sign up for that. I think we talked about autofocus pretty well. I think that if you have any more questions, let us know. Let us know for sure. Again, let us know in the Facebook group. Reach out to us on our website, beginnerphotographypodcast.com. Check out the show notes and let us know whatever you have questions about.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I ask questions all the time with my fellow professionals about things I don't know. You know, like we were talking about free lenses here earlier today. And, you know, one of our buddies, Evan, is the one who kind of rigged up, you know, a bike tube. And I had to learn. I had to learn how to do that. And I had to ask questions. And that was my dog. Did everyone hear that?
My dog. 100%.
Come here. Say hi to everyone in the podcast world. Lucy. Lucy. Oh, she wants like treats or something is what she wants. That's why she's here to bother me. She's yawning because she's been sleeping on her chair. Oh, isn't that right, puppy?
What a rough life.
I'm constantly learning how to become better, constantly learning things about my camera. And I've been using them for, I don't even know, too long some days. And it's just one little tidbit of information that, you know, makes your life completely simpler. And lets you get to the next step in your photography sort of experience, your journey. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Even if you think they're the silliest questions, do it. Ask it, learn, and, you know, grow.
Awesome. That's what we want, man. We just want to help you out. We want to help improve your photography. We want you to start taking better pictures today.
That's awesome. It. Awesome. Let's sign off, Raymond. Let people get back to shooting and their daily lives.
Yes. Hopefully more shooting than just daily life.
Yeah, that'd be the dream. we have some pretty cool stuff coming up for next week. We're going to keep that surprise in the bag.
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited for it. And I know that we got some good stuff coming your way. So, Callum, this was another great episode, buddy. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you as well.
Yeah, I couldn't be here without you, so
this is awesome. I literally couldn't be here without you.
Yeah.
Talking to myself.
And nobody wants to see that. That's weird.
No, that's a little, you could follow me on Snapchat. That's like talking to myself.
Yeah, that's
I'm on Snapchat at Cal Pinkney Photo. And where are you at?
Our Hatfield Photo.
Our Hatfield. See, there you go. Yeah. If you want to see our daily lives, I'll be honest, I posted one thing. Because Raymond's convinced me I should be Snapchatting to the world.
Yeah, Snapchat is fun. It's very intimate. It's very, personal. And whenever I watch people's Snapchats, you get a very good idea of who it is that they are and their personality. And I really like that. That's really what drew me to photography in the first place, was seeing photos of people that I just thought were interesting and compelling. And I think that Snapchat is the same thing, just used in, a different medium, video. So.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Well, I think it's time to sign off. Again, check out the Facebook group. Go to our website, beginnerphotographypodcast.com. Check out the show notes. We got everything listed that we talked about today, as well as the link for the Photography Life article in the show notes as well. So until next week.
Have fun.
That didn't work out as well as I planned. But
okay, bye.
Okay, bye. See you guys.
Bye.